I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, please. I want to go to John 16. Last week, I encouraged you to read through John 13 through 19. And the events of this text is happening this week. When the Lord celebrates the Passover with his disciples, that is happening this week. Tuesday night is Passover. And so the events of this scripture and the events we're going to be looking at are happening this week. A lot of times people call this week the Passion Week because it's of the Christ suffering. In the Jewish calendar, Passover is the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that goes for a week. And the Sunday, the first Sunday after the first Sabbath, after Passover, is the Feast of First Fruits. And it was celebrated with bringing offerings of the wheat, sheaves of wheat, to the Lord. And they would wave them before the Lord. And the whole point of that is first fruits. And in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15 and verse 12, it calls Jesus, in the fact that he was risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that slept, them that have died in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All through the Old Testament, this event of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits, all of this points to Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that today. And I think it's interesting, even in the Old Testament, even in a Jewish culture that focused on Sabbath, it was on Sunday that the celebration and the festival of First Fruits was offered to the Lord, which is a foreshadowing of Sunday worship, which we worship because Jesus resurrected on Sunday. And that's why we worship on Sunday. In this text, John 16, in verse 29, says, "His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou clearly, plainly, speakest no proverb. Now we are sure, thou knowest all things. Needest not any man should ask thee. And this we believe, that thou camest forth of God." And Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe?" We looked at this last week. But notice the very next chapter. This prayer that Jesus offers before he goes to the garden, before he is arrested, before his trial, before his crucifixion, he lifts up this prayer to the Lord. I want to begin, if you would, please, in verse 13. It says, "And now come I unto thee, these things speak I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." You know why Jesus left heaven and came to earth? That his joy could be fulfilled in us. Amen. You know why Jesus suffered what he suffered this week over 2,000 years ago? That we could have his joy in us. Amen. You know why Jesus went to the cross and died as a sacrifice for our sins? So that we could experience his righteousness in us, his joy in us. This is a prayer Jesus is praying, and he prays for our joy, our peace through him. His joy, his peace. Just like last week, we looked at John 14, where it says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, it's his peace that he wants us to enjoy. It's his joy he wants us to experience. And that's why he left heaven, and that's why he suffered for our sins. He goes on and he says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil that is in the world." See, we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're surrounded by the evil, but we're not supposed to take part in the evil. It says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If we're following Jesus, we're not following the world.
Amen.
He goes on and he says, sanctify them through thy word, thy truth. Thy word is truth. My friend, this book right here is key to knowing Jesus.
Amen.
This book right here is key to experiencing His joy in us. This book right here is key to being born into God's family. This book right here is key to being set apart to God's glory. This book is essential. And that's why I'm so thankful that over $2,000 was given in our love offering for Bibles to the mission field. And I'm so thankful for that, because this book is critical for people knowing the Lord of this book. But go on in verse 18, he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. See, Jesus didn't come here to stay here. He came here to accomplish His mission and then to commission us to continue that mission of seeking and saving that which was lost, of spreading the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. See, He finished His job and He's given us a job, and we need to be finishing it. He goes on in verse 19, he says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. See, Jesus set himself apart to do the work of the Father. We need to set ourselves apart to do the work that Jesus has given us to do. Notice in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus is praying for us. Those who've trusted Jesus Christ down the line from the apostles, He's praying for them as well. And all those that will be saved even after us, He's praying for them, that they would be like the apostles and they would follow God's will. They would follow Jesus' commission. They would do the work that they were given to do. And we need to be about our Father's business as well, just like Jesus was. In verse 21, He says, and they shall all be one, as thou art, Father, art in me, and I in thee. They also shall be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You know what our whole purpose is? You know the whole purpose of Amanda going to the Dominican Republic and all those that went with her? Is so people would believe in Jesus. You know why we are to be witnesses as we go through our week and pass out gospel tracts where we go, or invite people to the Resurrection Sunday or whatever? You know the purpose of that? The people might know Jesus. You know why we're saved and left here? So through our efforts, others might know Jesus. My friend, Jesus is praying for us right here. What Jesus suffered this week, He suffered for us. And not for us only, but for others to know Him.
Amen.
My friend, I want to talk to you about the peace we can have only through Jesus' sacrifice. As we go into this Passion Week, as we begin today thinking about Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday next Sunday, we need to think about that peace. Number one, do we have it? Number two, what are we doing to share it with others? He did all this that we could experience His joy in us. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for each one that is here today. I pray that You would bless as we look into Your word and speak to our hearts, we pray. Accomplish Your will, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. A wonderful resource that I bought several years ago on recommendation of Steve Rosenkranz is this book right here. It's The Feast of Israel by Kevin Connor. And he deals with the Passover in this week that we celebrate this week. And we read the text out of Exodus chapter 12, where they were instructed, when they were still in bondage in Egypt, they were instructed to take this lamb on the 10th day of the month and to keep it in their house for 4 days to make sure it was a perfect lamb, to make sure it was without any blemish at all. And then on the 14th day, they would sacrifice that lamb in evening And they would roast it with fire. And they would take the blood and they would offer it to the Lord. And they would put it on the doorpost and on the mantle of the door. And the whole purpose of that was that night in Egypt, several thousand years before Jesus ever came, the death angel was coming through Egypt. It was the final plague of the 10 plagues that God used to deliver his children out of Egyptian bondage. They had been there over 400 years, 430 years. And God used these plagues to deliver them. It's interesting. It's an interesting study. I'm not going to do it today, but every one of the plagues was something that the Egyptians worshipped. In fact, God says that he is judging the gods of the Egyptians. That's what every one of the plagues had to do with. And on this night of Passover, and this week it's Tuesday night, they would take that lamb and they would sacrifice that lamb and they would put it on the door, and then they would roast that lamb and they would eat that lamb, and they would eat that lamb with their shoes on and standing up, and they would eat it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread, and they would do all of that because every bit of that pointed to Jesus Christ. Amen. The bitter herbs pointed to his suffering for our sins. The unleavened bread pointed to his sinless perfection for our sinfulness. And the sacrifice of the lamb and the shed blood pointed to his crucifixion for our sins and paying the debt of our sins as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. For thousands of years, every time they celebrated Passover, they were remembering what God did in Egypt, but they were looking forward to what Jesus was going to do. This is a very sacred festival for Jewish people, and ought to be something that we know about and think about as we go through this week. I mentioned to you in 1 Corinthians 15, it even says that Jesus has become our first fruit, the first fruit of the resurrection. As we read in Exodus, and I've given you all these references, you can look them up, but this was what God was telling them to do this. And in chapter 13, they did it. And as they're leaving, he says, every year you're going to remember this. This is a holy convocation, he calls it. A holy time of worship to remember what I did for you in rescuing you from Egypt. See, the Passover was an observance and a remembrance and a celebration of God's deliverance of his people out of the bondage and death of Egypt. But every bit of that points to Jesus Christ and his deliverance, his eternal deliverance, that he will give to those who trust in him, that he can deliver them from the bondage and death of sin. Amen. See, Jesus is the completion of this celebration. And it is this celebration that Jesus is observing with his disciples. And the Gospels, each of the Gospels record this. In fact, in one of the Gospels, he tells his disciples, two of his disciples, to go and make ready for the preparation of the Passover. And he told them exactly everything to do, every detail. And it was exactly the way the Lord said it would be. See, Jesus is that perfect Lamb. And he was here on earth. He was tested and tempted to prove that he was sinless. And he's the final sacrifice for sin. Right. You know, Jews don't do sacrifice anymore. They pay money to pay off their sin debt. That's their sacrifice today. You know, there's not enough money on the face of the earth to cleanse us of our sins. The Jews have no blood sacrifice. That's why they desperately need Jesus, because he is the final blood sacrifice for sin. And they need to hear about Jesus. That's what the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10:10, it says, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. One sacrifice for all people. One sacrifice for all sin. One sacrifice for all time. He's the final and perfect Lamb of God. Amen. And Jesus is the fulfillment of this ceremony called Passover. He is the final Passover Lamb. And he is the only eternal deliverer from any person from the bondage and the death of sin. That's why he tells us in John 11, if you believe in me, you shall never die. Believest thou this? The only way we can be delivered from the curse and penalty of sin, which is death, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The only way we can be truly delivered from the penalty of sin is through faith in Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way to have eternal life. See, I read to you an excerpt of Jesus' prayer in John 17. And that prayer is being offered up this week, over 2,000 years ago. These events are happening this week. And over 2,000 years ago, he was praying for believers today in that prayer. He says, I'm not praying for them only, but for those that will believe because of their testimony. See, he's praying for us to experience his joy in us. The only way to do that is through faith in him. Amen. He's saying that he's given them the word of God. And my friend, we have the word of God, and it's this book that will help us to know God and know his son Jesus as our Savior and to experience that joy and experience that peace that only he can bring. See, it's his word that helps us to do that. He says they're in the world. We are in the world. But we're not to be of the world. We're not to be like the world. We're not to be following the world. We're to be following Jesus. We're in the world to make a difference in the world. Amen. Not to become like the world. We're in the world to show the world what a follower of Jesus looks like and acts like and talks like and behaves like. Not for us to act and talk and behave like the world. And Jesus prays that they would be in the world but not be of the world. And then he mentions, after that statement, he mentions the Word of God as significant to helping us not be part of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And then he says, all of this is possible so others might believe. Not only in Somerville, not only in Oregon, not only in America, but in Dominican Republic and all over the world. Amen. Last week we have the Reasoners with us, missionaries in Russia. It's the same for everybody, Amen. Jew and Gentile alike. See, Passover is a celebration. I see that that's already there on the screen. Passover is a celebration. It is. Go to chapter 12 of John's gospel. I want you to see there the celebration, the festivity that's taking place here. In John chapter 12, and look at verse 12. And on the next day, much people were come to the feast. That's the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread. Many people from all over the region had come to Jerusalem for this festive event. And when they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And all of these extra people were in Jerusalem, and it was a festive time. It was a time of celebration. And Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on this day and to celebrate the Passover for the last time with the disciples. Because he was the final Passover lamb. He was going to die for their sins and for our sins. But it's a festive event. That's why his entry into Jerusalem was such a celebration and such a festivity, because this whole week is a week of festivity for the Jewish people. It's a celebration of deliverance from bondage. Every year they were celebrating the release of the deliverance from Egypt. But my friend, it's not just about Egypt. It's about us today being delivered from the bondage of sin in our lives. Amen. See, they were in Egyptian bondage for over 400 years, 430 years. But for us, if we don't know Jesus, for anybody, if they don't know Jesus, they're going to suffer the bondage of sin forever. And even Jews that celebrate this celebration, if they didn't come to trust Jesus as Messiah, they're going to suffer the bondage of sin forever. See, they came to Egypt starting off as guests. They ended up being slaves. And Satan likes to draw us into temptation of sin with the pleasure of sin. But the pleasure of sin is only for a season. And then the bondage of sin comes. And sin is a very cruel taskmaster, just like Egypt was to the Jewish people. They came in as only 70 souls. And they left with 600,000 men. So you add women and children to that, you've got well over 1 million. That was part of the reason why God sent them there, to make a great nation of them. And it worked just like God planned it. And He delivered them just like He said He would. And God told Abraham all of this, all the way back in the book of Genesis. He told them that they would go into Egypt, a land that was not their land. And they would be there for 400 years, 400 plus. And then they would be delivered out. All of this is the fulfillment of God's promises and God's prophecies. See, Passover is a celebration. It's a celebration of deliverance from bondage. And it's a celebration of experience of new life. That's what they were celebrating. No longer slaves in Egypt. Now they were delivered and they were Jews going to the promised land. But they didn't all make it, did they? See, the slavery they endured was hard. It was a very slow death. When they were delivered, they had the hope of life. The slavery was certain death. They expected to just suffer all their life and die in Egypt. But then they were delivered and they had hope of new life. The slavery was death to the body and agony to the soul. You know, that's exactly what sin does to us today. It destroys us physically and it agonizes us spiritually. And the only deliverance we can have from the agony of sin and the destruction of sin is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, Passover is a celebration of God's faithfulness and fulfillment of His promises. I mentioned that earlier. Back in Genesis 15, God tells them all this is going to happen to Abraham, who didn't even experience any of it. Happened hundreds of years after him. But He told him about it. And in Exodus, he told them to do it, and they did it. And then He told them to remember it in Exodus 13. And you know, this is such a part of the Jewish history. A whole Psalm 105, the whole thing talks about the history of God's people. And a very large part of that psalm is the events of the going into Egypt and the suffering in Egypt and the deliverance of Egypt from Egypt and the going through the wilderness and entering into the promised land. It's all part of God's fulfilled promises. You know what this book is full of? Promises of God, and He's going to fulfill every single one of them.
That's right.
And when we think of Passover, and when we think of the death of Jesus Christ, and we think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and in whatever our celebration is, we need to remember that God said it and He did it. And everything else He said, He will do. He's coming back, and you need to be ready. He's your only hope.
Yep.
Jesus is your only hope to the Father. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's your only hope. Passover requires a time of preparation. That's your second point. You don't just do Passover. You can't do it at the last minute. There's way too many of us that we procrastinate too much. You can't do Passover procrastinating. You got to plan ahead. The week before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you got to spend the whole week purging your home of all leaven. Anything that is leaven in your home, not just yeast, anything that produces the activity of leaven had to be purged out of your home. Because in that week, it couldn't be in your home, and you couldn't partake of anything that had leaven in it. And the whole point of that, the whole point of getting it out of your home and the whole point of not eating it, everything pointed to Jesus. And the only way that we can be cleansed of our sin is through Jesus. And Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. He's the sinless Son of God. And He's the only one that can be our Savior.
Amen.
It was a time of preparation. It was a preparation of a perfect sacrifice. I mean, you didn't just on the 14th day just get any old lamb and sacrifice a lamb. No, 4 days earlier you had to pick a lamb. And the lamb you picked, you needed to make sure it was okay. It wasn't sickly. It wasn't didn't have any maladies. It didn't have any impairments. And then to make sure that it was a lamb that was without blemish and without spot, you kept it close to you for 4 days. Any of you that have had children with little animals know that it doesn't take a whole 4 days to get close to that little critter. And I'm sure there was a lot of pain in that home when that pet turned into a sacrifice. My friend, it ought to break our hearts to realize what our sin cost our Savior. It ought to cause us to look at sin differently when we think of what Jesus went through for our sin. It had to be a healthy lamb, a good lamb, a lamb without spot, without blemish. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. In Luke 4 and in Matthew 4 and Mark 1, it records the event where Satan tempts Jesus, and Jesus was tried with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, just like we are. But he was tempted yet without sin because he is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. And in 1 John chapter 1, it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And you're in the book of John, so go to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. I want you to see this about Jesus, about the idea of light and sinlessness. And in 1 John, that's what it's talking about when it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. It's talking about his sinless perfection. And in John chapter 1, and in verse 4, it gives that same illustration of Jesus. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Talking about Jesus. That all men through him might believe and come to the Father. It's only through Jesus. He is the light. He's the light of the world. It says, he was not that light. Talking about John the Baptist, he was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. And that light was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. My friend, the only way any human being can be right with God and spend eternity with God is through knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the same for everybody. Doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you've been guilty of in your life. My friend, it's the same for everybody.
Amen.
Jesus is the only light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. And in Jesus, that light, there is life eternal. Because he's the sinless Son of God. My friend, that's who Jesus is. The Bible says he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I'm glad Passover is not just something that the Jews celebrated, but it's something that we ought to realize points to Jesus.
Amen.
Jews and Gentiles alike. See, this is why Jesus was tried and was declared to be innocent by Pilate. And in John 18, you're still in the book of John. Go forward just a little bit. In John 18, in verse 38, says, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and saith unto him, I find in him no fault at all.
That's right. Yeah.
And he says, there's a custom that you have that somebody should be released at Passover. And he offers them Barabbas or Jesus, and they cry out for Barabbas. You realize this is just a couple of days after in chapter 12 where they're praising Jesus and they're saying, Hosanna to God in the highest that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they're praising Jesus. And just a few days later, they're saying, give us Barabbas and crucify this man. What changed? He didn't meet their expectations. They were looking for a Messiah that would deliver them from Rome, not deliver them from sin. My friend, your greatest problem is not the government of the United States.
Oh boy.
Your greatest problem is not the immorality in this world. Your greatest problem is your sin in need of a Savior. Before we're going to be delivered out of this world, we've got to be delivered from this world.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus came, to deliver us from the world, so one day he can deliver us out of the world. That's what he says in John 14. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My friend, Jesus went to heaven after his death, burial, and resurrection. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended back up into heaven. And he's preparing a place for all those who receive him. And one day he's coming back in the clouds and he will receive up all those who receive him. But if you don't receive him, he won't receive you. I realize that Ron Bell in Michigan says that everybody makes it to heaven. But my friend, my Bible says everybody doesn't make it to heaven. I don't care what any preacher says. I don't care how many letters they have after their name because of all the degrees they have. The Bible stands true against everybody. Everybody's not going to heaven. Only those that trust Jesus as their Savior will be going to heaven. And my friend, if you haven't done that, today would be a great day to do that. Jesus was innocent. He was tempted by Satan, yet without sin. He was tried by Pilate, but he was found innocent, yet he still died for our sins. All of this was the fulfillment of Passover. All of this was to show that he was the sinless, perfect Lamb of God. See, it required not only preparation of the sacrifice, but it required preparation of a cleansed house. I mentioned to you that all the leaven had to be removed from the home, and nothing could be eaten with leaven in it during that whole week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the Bible, leaven is a picture of sin. In fact, I think I gave you a reference about that in 1 Corinthians 6. About a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, talking about how when we just let a little bit of sin in our lives, it permeates our whole life and it messes everything up. And in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, he's talking about sin in the church. And he's telling them that you got to get that sin out of the church. My friend, a biblical church practices church discipline. It's not a fun thing, but it's necessary sometimes. When there's unrepentant sin and there's sin in somebody's life that they're not willing to get changed in their life and it's affecting their testimony, it's affecting the cause of Christ, my friend, it's got to be dealt with.
Amen.
And sexual sin is what is definitely being referred to in 1 Corinthians. And he says, get that lump, get that leaven out of the church.
Amen.
But you know what? It's not just about getting the leaven out of the church. It's about getting the leaven out of our lives. Because every person that makes up a church affects the church. I was having that conversation with Skylar this week about how every member of the church affects how God can bless or cannot bless the church. Because of our lives. We need to get the leaven out of our lives. The only way to be delivered from that leaven is through Jesus. The only way to know what is right and wrong is through God's Word. See, it takes preparation of a cleansed house and it takes preparation of a prepared worshiper. You know, Jew or Egyptian, either one. And I checked this out in here. There's a reference. I could not find it. But it didn't matter if they were Jew or Egyptian. If they did what God said, they would be delivered. And the same is today. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Gentile. Doesn't matter who you are. It's the same for everybody.
Amen.
And if you trust in Jesus and you are cleansed in His shed blood spiritually from your sins, my friend, you're delivered. But if you're not, you're not. See, we have to be obedient to God's Word. That's how we prepare. For worship, obedience to God's word. We prepare by being compliant to God's command. We've got to do what He says. For us today, it's repent of sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ to receive Him as your Passover lamb. We prepare by applying the blood personally. That blood had to be on that house. Only the people in that house were protected. You had to stay in the house. You had to stay covered by the blood. Everybody in the house had to partake of the Lamb.
Amen.
It's individual. It's personal. You've got to personally partake of Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've got to personally apply His shed blood to your sins. It's personal. I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. Just like with the Egypt, just like the Jews in Egypt. Every household had to do it. And they had to be in that house under that blood to be protected from death. We have to prepare by acknowledging our need of cleansing. Any Jew that says, I don't need that lamb. I don't need that unleavened bread. I don't need this Passover thing. Any Jew in Egypt that did that, they had death come to their home.
Right.
Just like any Egyptian. And today, anybody who says, I don't have sin, I don't need a Savior, I don't need to be forgiven. You may say that, but it doesn't make it true. All that makes true is you missing out on what could be possible. So you have to admit your need. In fact, in 1 John it says, whosoever says they don't have sin is a liar. We all have sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need deliverance. We all need to remove that leaven out of our lives. We all need Jesus as our Savior. We all need God's redemption, God's deliverance from the bondage and the death of sin. We only are prepared by staying in the house of protection, being under that blood. My friend, you need to be in the place of God's protection.
Amen.
By faith in Jesus Christ, following Him, walking with Him, submitting to Him. See, Passover is a celebration that must be personal. It's got to be personal. You know, the sad reality is, for thousands of years, there's Jews that practice this celebration. And even today, there are Jews that will be celebrating this celebration this week with no clue that it points to Jesus. But the question is, how about us here today? Are we here today knowing Jesus? Are we missing that? Are we here today cleansed by His blood, or have we missed that along the way? Don't miss the details in the celebration. Easter's a great celebration, but don't miss the Savior in the celebration. Jews for centuries have missed the Savior in the celebration. Jews today are missing the Savior in the celebration. My friend, don't be the person that misses the person of Jesus in the celebration about Jesus. There's people that celebrate Christmas, have no clue who Jesus is. There are people that celebrate Easter, have no clue of who Jesus is. My friend, don't be that person. Know the Savior that the celebration's about. It has to be personal. Everyone had to partake personally and individually. Every person in the house had to eat of that lamb. Every person. There is no other way. Somebody says, well, I don't like lamb. I'm not having any. That's your choice. It's not going to work for you. See, you can choose what you want to choose, but doesn't mean God has to bless what you choose. See, the only way you're going to be blessed with eternal life is by choosing to receive Christ as your Savior, partaking of Him personally and individually. See, the lamb was sacrificed and the blood was offered to God obediently. See, Jews and Egyptians alike, they could have said, I don't like this plan, I want another plan. And they could have done that, but it didn't mean the death angel wasn't going to come. You can make your own plan. And there's churches all over the world making their own plan, but it doesn't mean God has to bless it. In fact, God won't bless it. The only plan He's going to bless is His plan. Just like the only deliverance from the death angel in Egypt was the blood of the lamb and the partaking of the lamb. That was God's plan, and that's the only plan He blessed. Same thing's true today. The only plan of redemption that God is going to bless is His plan of redemption, and that redemption is only found in His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Not in some religious ritual, not in partaking of bread and drinking a juice or wine or whatever, not getting dunked in water or sprinkled in water, not another plan. There's only one plan. It's God's plan, and that's the only plan that has His eternal salvation attached to it, and it's faith in Jesus Christ, His Son. See, in Exodus, it had to be applied to the house for the angel to see it and pass over that house so death would not come to that family. The lamb would be roasted in fire, and the meal would be prepared with bitter herbs and unleavened bread, and it had to be partaken of that night because it was that night at midnight the death angel would come. And after the death angel came through Egypt and Pharaoh's house was touched, it was then that Pharaoh told them, get out. That night they left. That's why they ate it with their shoes on. That wasn't a normal thing to have a meal with your shoes on. It wasn't a normal thing to eat standing up. All of that was pointing to the fact that that night they would be delivered.
Amen.
My friend, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Amen. That's right.
And if you've never repented of sin and called on Jesus to be your Savior, today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
If you can't remember a time where you acknowledged your sin to a holy God and you told Him you could not change your spiritual condition on your own and you needed Him to save you, you needed Him to cleanse you, and you needed Him to do it through His Son, and you were trusting in that alone to take you to heaven, my friend, if you haven't done that, today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Don't put it off.
Good.
Don't procrastinate on something so important as your eternal soul. You couldn't partake in this celebration by procrastinating. There's some things that are just too important to put off. Eternity with God in heaven is too important to put off. See, all who obeyed and were protected completely. But all who did not obey were not protected at all. And the same thing's true today. All who obey the gospel are protected in Christ.
Amen.
And all who do not obey the gospel are not protected at all. It's the same. See, the only way to be protected from death is through obeying the gospel. Just like obeying the Passover, you have to obey the gospel. See, it was that night the angel of God would come to Egypt and death would judge those who were not obedient to God and not prepared with the blood sacrifice. All those who were in the house and covered under the blood were protected from death, but all those who were not were touched by death. My friend, every human being, every soul on the face of the earth that is not covered in the blood of Jesus Christ spiritually in salvation will suffer the death of sin. It's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. See, all those that obeyed were delivered from bondage. It was that night Pharaoh told the Jews to get out. And it was that night the Egyptians showed favor on them and gave them anything they needed to get out. My friend, when you trust Jesus, you not only get heaven and forgiveness of sin, you get to be a joint heir with Christ forever.
Amen.
You get it all in Jesus, and you get none of it at all without Jesus. See, they could experience new life only by being obedient. But you know, here's a problem, and this is where a lot of Christians are today. All those Jews that walked out of Egypt, they didn't all get Egypt out of them. There's a lot of Christians, they're saved, they're going to heaven, but they haven't gotten the world out of them.
Right.
And it causes them problems.
Oh boy.
What happened at the Red Sea? Oh, we need to go back to Egypt. You brought us out of here from Egypt just to kill us out here. Boy, was that short-sighted. That sounds like a lot of Christians I know.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten the world out of them yet. They've trusted Jesus, but they're still letting the world influence their words and their actions and their decisions. What about in the wilderness? You brought us out here to kill us. We should have just died in Egypt. How foolish of a statement, but it sounds like a lot of Christians I know. They're delivered out of the world, but they haven't gotten the world out of them. They're still thinking like the world. They're still acting like the world.
Very good.
And even when they got in the promised land, even after all that God did for them, what do you find them doing in the promised land? Worshiping the same idols of the pagans around them. Sounds like a lot of Christians I know. They worship pleasure more than they worship God. They worship entertainment more than they worship God. They worship the environment more than they worship God. They worship out in the wilderness more than they worship in God's house. My friend, you need to get the world out of you. If you're truly a follower of Christ, you'll have a whole lot better life if you don't just get out of the world spiritually, but you get the world out of you spiritually.
Amen.
And let this book, Jesus, remember the words I read at the beginning, John 17? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This book will get the world out of you if you'll just follow it. And this book will replace your bitterness with joy if you just believe it. It all comes back to this book. My question is, are you obeying it? Are you believing it? Are you even reading it? It's all attached to this book. Knowing Jesus, the only way you're going to know that is through this book.
Amen.
Following God's will, the only way you're going to know that is through this book.
Right.
It's not helping you being closed all week long. It's not helping you when you don't even know where it is.
Yeah.
This book is critical.
Yeah.
Jesus said so, not me. It's not my opinion. It's what Jesus said.
Amen.
You don't have to agree with everything I say, but you are foolish not to agree with everything Jesus said.
True.
Yeah.
Friend, if you've never trusted Christ, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Let's pray.